Looking for your next favorite podcast? Start here.
Her doctor's solution was immersion therapy. In Liz's case, that meant a week in Little Underwood. Little Underwood, he said, was prone to long periods of foggy weather. This climactic quirk would make it a perfect vacation spot for a homoclophobe looking to conquer her fear.
When we are in water, our heart rate automatically slows right down in an attempt to conserve energy for when we really need it. This is why when you're upset, it's really common to be told to splash water on your face.
I met a few companies that do portable planetariums. That is like a dream come true. And they're literally, it's an inflatable dome room and you hop in it. It's beautiful.
Welcome to this week's episode of the WVXU Discovery Podcast. Start here. I'm Trip Eldridge, your podcast jockey. Get set for a quick overview and sample of three podcasts today, two national and one locally produced, to help you navigate the ever-growing world of the podcast phenomenon. Plus, we're introducing the all-new Start Here Blast weekly e-newsletter. You'll get a personalized email with the podcasts we feature on Start Here. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and select the Start Here Blast email from the bottom of the page. Also, now you can rate Start Here on iTunes. And if you're a fan, a 5-star rating will help others find us in the iTunes gallery. So don't forget to rate us on iTunes today. And now, with special thanks for technical assistance from Cincinnati Public Radio's Jim Nolan and writing research and curation support by Connor Eldridge, it's time to Start Here. Well, the scariest day of the year is right around the corner. So we're starting off this week's episode of Start Here with a couple of podcasts that are sure to get you in the mood for monsters, murderers, and ghouls. First up is Dead Oaks, a horror anthology podcast about a town where nightmares go to live forever. Spanning 3 seasons and over 40 episodes, Dead Oaks has enough scares to last a lifetime. With immersive sound design, haunting and terrifying stories, you won't want to listen to this podcast at night. So go to Podcast Central and hear the horror yourself as you learn the legends and stories of the cursed town. Here's a sample from the 3rd season of Dead Oaks, an episode titled Immersion Therapy. In this clip, a therapy assignment goes awry when main character Liz arrives in town.
Liz's hands started to sweat as soon as she crested the hill and saw the town nestled in its bowl of fog. Homoclophobia, her doctor had called it. Abnormal fear of fog. The slightest hint of fog or mist sent her spiraling into a full-on panic attack. The thought of actually walking through the stuff left her paralyzed, barely able to breathe. Even photographs of foggy landscapes made her uncomfortable. Her doctor's solution was immersion therapy. In Liz's case, that meant a week in Little Underwood. Little Underwood, he said, was prone to long periods of foggy weather. This climactic quirk would make it a perfect vacation spot for a homoclophobe looking to conquer her fear. A week living here would sort her right out, he said. Liz had decided a weekend would be plenty. Now she was beginning to regret agreeing even to that. She eased off the accelerator and let gravity carry her on down the hill towards the center of town. Her foot hovered over the brake as she cruised past a hospital towards a wall of soft gray fog. There was still time for her to go back, she realized. All she had to do was nip into the hospital car park and turn around. The car picked up speed. Liz gave a little squeak and pressed down on the brake as her car hit the wall of fog. The world disappeared, and for a moment all she could see was gray. She braked harder, slowing to a crawl. She cringed, expecting some other, more confident driver to slam to the back of her car at any second. Then the grayness broke apart. The fog turned into ragged shreds that draped themselves across the windscreen as she drove. They reminded her of entrails, but at least she could see where she was driving again. Sunken Lane was on the eastern side of town. The satellite navigation system in the car had packed up just before she arrived in Little Underwood, but she had a few hastily scribbled directions. After a couple of wrong turns, she drove down a narrow, cobbled street and turned right onto Sunken Lane. According to the internet, Sunken Lane was the lowest point in Little Underwood. Liz could believe that. The fog grew thick again. So thick, in fact, that it was hard to see the numbers attached to the doors of the terraced cottages that lined either side of the narrow street. The road was bumpy and dotted with potholes, and the car bounced and shuddered. Liz slowed down to a walking pace, her attention half on the road and half trying to read the numbers. She'd made it almost halfway along the street when the engine of her Mini, a car that had been old when Michael Caine was blowing off bloody doors, sputtered and died. Liz guided the car to the side of the road and tried the engine. A coughed and juddered, but wouldn't start. As she turned the key again, someone rapped against the window beside her. Liz screamed. Her heart, already pounding after the tense drive through the fog, was now threatening to rip itself out of her chest. She turned, ready to punch her would-be attacker in the face as he broke into the car. There was a woman peering through the window, an enthusiastic smile on her face. "Hello, dear. You must be Miss Curtis. I'm Miss Banbridge." Liz closed her eyes and let out a long, slow breath. Miss Banbridge, the proprietor of Mulberry Cottage, her home away from home for the next couple days. Before Liz could say anything, Miss Banbridge had walked around the car and pulled open the passenger door. The woman, surprisingly strong, dragged Liz's bags off the front seat and started hauling them up the path towards the cottage. "Come on, dear. I expect you'll be tired after your journey." Without thinking, Liz swung open the driver's door and stepped out of the car, right into the fog. She screamed again as the moist air caressed her skin. She ran after Mrs. Banbridge, performing an awkward ducking, twisting dance in an effort to minimize contact with the foggy tentacles that seemed to materialize out of nowhere with every step she took. She all but threw herself into the cottage. She slammed the door behind her, then stood in the narrow hallway, fists clenched, heart racing, a river of sweat of Amazonian proportions running down her back, despite the chill in the air. Mrs. Banbridge's head appeared in the nearby doorway. "Cup of tea, dear?"
A tasty sample of the podcast Dead Oaks, a horror anthology podcast. Perfect to get into the Halloween spirit. The scary stories of Dead Oaks, available on WVXU's Podcast Central. Okay, so you still haven't gotten your fear fix yet? Well, then head over to WVXU's Podcast Central Library and check out Red Handed. It's a podcast we recently added to the collection. Hosts Aruthi and Hannah jump headfirst into all sorts of macabre madness. And unlike Dead Oaks, this stuff is real. They cover everything from serial killers to hauntings, possessions, or anything else that tickles their creepy fancy. You'll get so much in-depth history and analysis of some of history's most unsettling events that you may never want to leave your house again. What happened to Oscar Pistorius? Who's the most dangerous prisoner in Britain? How did Larry David save a man from death row? Tune in to Red Handed to find the answers, plus many more scary and true stories. Here's a sample for you of Red Handed. The episode's titled A Modern Maori Exorcism, The Death of Janet Moses. The episode covers the mysterious circumstances surrounding the death of 22-year-old mother of two Janet Moses, who drowned in the middle of the family's living room in 2007. Her close-knit Maori family's involvement in Janet's death is where the story gets a little complicated.
No matter how long, they kept chanting and stamping. Janet didn't seem to improve. She was still screaming, lashing out, and convinced that something was coming to get her. One relative suggested that they call another tohunga, but this proposition was rejected by Glenys and John. For them, it was Timi Rahi, or it was nobody. So now we see a real shift. The chanting still wasn't working, and Janet was becoming more and more erratic. Janet wanted to be in the shower for long periods of time. And the reason for this isn't totally clear. Some of the family said that this was because she often showered her grandmother when she was alive, so she was trying to recreate that moment. Janet had been incredibly close to her maternal grandmother, who's since died. And they think that a big part of her mental breakdown was the loss of her grandmother. So I can sort of buy into that idea of wanting to feel close to her grandmother. However, I do have my own theory. I read about it last week and I've been gagging to get it into a case and I've managed it. Hooray. So here we go. Being in water actively calms human beings down. It's called the mammalian diving response. And I am really about to trigger any creationists that are listening.
I don't think you need to worry about them.
Do we not have any creationists?
Even if they are, I don't think we need to worry about them.
But this reflex is an evolutionary trait left over from when we lived in the water all the time. Swimming is a super high calorie burning activity. So when we are in water, our heart rate automatically slows right down in an attempt to conserve energy for when we really need it. This is why when you're upset, it's really common to be told to splash water on your face. The mammalian diving response can be triggered by just the feeling of water on your face and around your nostrils. Being in water makes us feel calm. So could it be possible that instead of Janet feeding the demon inside her by being in the shower, Maybe she was just trying to calm herself down. And I do that. If I'm like feeling really stressed, like go and have a shower, sort yourself out. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. And when Janet was in the shower herself, she had the hot water running like every other normal human being. But for some reason, Glenys kept turning the water to cold, and Glenys and John would hold Janet under the shower head. So this escalates pretty quickly. They're like, she likes being in the shower. Grab her, hold her down. Let's basically waterboard her under the shower head and put the water to cold. And obviously, Janet didn't like that. And it caused her to scream and try and get out of the shower, which seems like a pretty normal reaction to me. But it translated to Glenys totally differently. Glenys took this to mean that the Markatu didn't like cold water. I mean, again, it's just the interpretation of the things that are happening in front of them. You hold somebody down under a cold water tap forcibly and they try to run away. And they're like, no, it's the Markatu that doesn't like the cold water, not Janet. And this led to water being seen as a weapon against the Markatu. In later statements to the police, John described seeing the blackness in Janet's eyes. After the extended cold shower stint, which went on for hours at a time, Janet seemed to calm down and she vomited up a load of mucus. I think she calmed down because she's probably fucking knackered from screaming and trying to get away from you. And presumably she's vomiting up mucus because her stomach was so full of water from being held under a shower head. But this mucus was decided instead to be the Markatu. At least part of it.
A sample from Red Handed from Acast. Discover more of the monstrous and macabre moments of history with Red Handed. Available now on WVXU's Podcast Central Library. Well, if you need a little palate cleanser from all this Halloween horror, this week's featured local podcast has exactly what you're looking for. It's called The Weekly Hookup, and thanks to local hosts Mark Borison and Mike Robinson, you'll get a dose of humor to kick off your weekend on the right foot. Each week, Mike and Mark tackle all the news of the week, good and bad, with jokes and laughs. And whether they're chatting about hot local events coming up or screaming at each other about the world events, they've got you covered. You can tune in to The Weekly Hookup on the radio or in podcast form to learn, laugh, and listen to some great music as the guys get you ready for the weekend. Here's a sample from an installment of The Weekly Hookup, this time featuring only Mark. In it, he chats about what he's been up to and what his plans are for an upcoming musical episode of the show.
But yeah, I've been super busy. I got really sick for almost like all of December and part of January. It's just been a nightmare. I spent the last week in Florida for a convention. I'm actually about to turn right back around and go to Austin, Texas for the next week to do another education conference. Full disclosure, I am a video producer by trade. My team and I produce video content for all over. Recently, we've been doing some local businesses, but our main gig is for a company called Promevo that does Chrome software, stuff like that, and we run their YouTube channel, so we'll be going down to support this. And it's fun for us because I'm sure you can guess, we're all kind of nerdy people in that end, definitely myself. And I love technology and education stuff. You really find it in two places. They don't usually talk about fun tech on the business side. If you're working for a company, you're doing these kind of technology conferences, business stuff is always super boring. So the business stuff is like, oh, we got a security key. You'll find something cool occasionally. Like, I've got these really cool security keys to lock me out of my, or rather, to lock me up, probably to lock me up, but to actually let me access my, critical data on the work end. You'll find cool little things like that, but education tech is really where all the cool stuff comes at. So, for example, the last week, we did a lot of stuff with virtual reality and augmented reality. I met a few companies that do portable planetariums. That is like a dream come true. And they're literally, it's an inflatable dome room and you hop in it. It's beautiful. At some point, I would happily share some of my video stuff with you guys. Not that any of you would be interested. But if you are, you can always reach out to us at theweeklyhookupshow@gmail.com. So let's see what else. I'm actually, I feel like as sick as I've been and as bored as I've been on that end and being without voice for a while, getting engaged at the end of the month and all kinds of other crazy stuff, I just feel like I haven't had as much fun. So I'm glad to be back here. And I am really glad because there's just been so much good news. And that's where I was going with this, is that there is a lot of fun things that I keep getting information on here recently. So, for example, the big thing, and I'm going to theme my show this week this way because I want to do a music episode because I love this band. And I want to play this whole album in its entirety for you. It is not explicit. It's beautiful. They're an Australian band kind of progressive, but kind of a rock band, a little pop. When I described him once to somebody, I was like, wow, this would be like if Mars Volta could write pop singles. It's probably a good way to do it because there's like a lot of similar harmonization. I won't go into the nerdy music side of it, but there's like enough things if you've ever heard either, or you could maybe see what I'm getting at there. Through a few other lenses, please. You know how that goes. Because watch now, some Mars Volta fans could be like, this sounds nothing like it. And well, that's why we don't invite you to things. So all kidding aside, the band is called Closure in Moscow, and they got picked up. They never come to the United States. It's seriously been probably like 10 years since they've been here. They got picked up by another favorite band of mine, not from the United States, called Protest the Hero. And Protest the Hero is out doing their 10-year anniversary tour of one of my favorite metal albums of all time called Fortress. Lyrics are killer. Musicianship is awesome. They're, you know, at a time when that album came out, when like metal in general was kind of going to this like overly growly, like heavy. And by the way, I love the heavy stuff. As a singer, I never really got into the growly vocals. Not to say that there's no talent or anything like that involved in that. Please don't misunderstand me. It's just not what I like, right? I want to hear somebody sing. I want to hear a singer that I listen to them and go, wow, I could never do that, right? Protest was one of those bands where I was just like, wow, this is amazing. This band's so cool. That album Fortress is amazing. So I was already on board to go see them. And then when they announced that for the first half of the tour, they were taking one of my favorite acts, Closure in Moscow, who's also doing a 10-year tour, or almost 10-year anniversary of their awesome album, First Temple. Oh, man, I don't even know where to start. So today what I thought I would do for everybody, since we got a good hour here, and rather than make you listen to me rant and rave, I'm going to go full off-brand from my persona and tell you about things I like and see how that goes.
A sample from the local podcast, The Weekly Hookup, with Mark Morrison and Mike Robinson. Check out The Weekly Hookup for some great music, local and global news, and some bad jokes right here on WVXU's Podcast Central. And before we wrap up the podcast today, let's travel over to the Apple Podcast Charts via iTunescharts.net. Well, the big story this week is a podcast that virtually debuted at number one. It's called Bagman. Consider this. Is it possible for an American vice president to carry out a criminal enterprise inside the White House and have nobody remember? To have one of the most brazen political bribery scandals in American history play out before the country, but nobody's paying attention? Well, that's the story of the new podcast, Bagman. It's a story that's not well known, but it probably should be. And thanks to podcasting, it now will be. In fact, this podcast is so hot, it went to number one without one episode being available. That's the power of a trailer. That's Bagman, number one, and debuting today for download for the first time. That wraps up this episode of Start Here, WVXU's Discovery Podcast. And speaking of discovery, astronomical discovery, that is, you want to check out our newest original podcast, Looking Up, with Dean Regas and Anna Heyman. Dean's the outreach astronomer at the Cincinnati Observatory and co-host of the PBS series Stargazers and author of the book Facts from Space. Anna's the observatory's director of development with an innate curiosity about the cosmos. That's Looking Up, now at WVXU.org. And if you're turning into a podcast junkie and just can't get enough, try these two new discovery resources, NPR's The Big Listen with Laura Ober. You get an audio peek into great storytelling podcasts. And for a more blog-like written review and recommendation, NPR has Earbud.fm. They use unique categories to help you discover podcasts with things like advice, do it like a lady, and big ideas. And of course, Jim Nolan, Kevin Reynolds, and the WVXU staff feature our favorites on Podcast Central at WVXU.org. That's where we'll add your recommendations if you just email us at podcast@WVXU.org or call 513-294-8030 and leave us a voicemail. I'm Trip Eldridge for WVXU, and thank you for choosing to start here.